Looks like we should. There's Eric. So it looks like we have a quorum. Let's get the show started. Welcome to the Wednesday, October 6, 2021 virtual meeting of the Thurston County Planning Commission. Good to see you all here. We have a full schedule, so let's keep things moving. Let's start off with introduction of the Planning Commission. My name is Jim Simmons. I represent District 3. Scott?
Scott Nelson, District 3.
And Don? Don? Don, are you on? Let's keep moving and we'll get back to him. Hi, Doug. Doug, are you there?
I am here. Doug Carman, District 2.
Okay. Eric?
Eric Casino, District 2.
Donna?
Or at least the top of Donna's head.
Yeah.
No. See.
Yeah. District 3.
Can you introduce yourself, please?
District 3.
Okay. That's Donna Dickerson. Hey, Don, are you there?
Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Don.
There's a Don and a Donna.
And we're asking for Don right now.
Okay. Very good.
Speaking of knowledge.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
You have on.
It looks like, well, I don't know, we're having trouble with. There you go, Don. Go ahead. Oh, okay, well, that's Don DeHaan right there. And Kevin.
Kevin Pestinger, District 1.
Can we try Don again? One more time?
Yeah, Donna Nickerson.
No, Donna. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, Polly, maybe you can help Don out and we can get him back on.
Now, is this,
I think it's on his end.
Yeah, I agree.
Don, can you hear?
He's unmuted, but he's not being able to be heard. Okay, Don, if you can get on, we're.
Can you hear us, Don DeHaan?
Doesn't look like it. Well, Don, if you can hear this, jump on when you can. We can see you, but we can't hear you. Or maybe you can't hear us also. Okay, we're going to move forward. I'm looking for a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
Is there any discussion on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any negative? Okay, so next is the approval of the meeting minutes. I'm looking for a motion to approve those.
So move.
Seconded.
All those in favor of the approval of the meeting minutes for September 15, 2021, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any disapprovals? Okay, no. So we're moving to public communications. If you have a comment or something to say on the council land use and rezone amendment, please hold off on that until we get to the public hearing so we're not hearing you twice. So again, if you're speaking on the capital and you guys, I'm not good at Robert's rules, so if I'm doing something wrong, please jump in, Polly or Maya. But if you're speaking on the council land use and rezone amendment, we will get to the public hearing shortly. And that's when we'll be asking for those comments. For the virtual meeting, please choose the raise your hand option if you're speaking on any other issues or concerns. If you are dialing in, press 9 to raise your hand. I will unmute you when it's your turn to speak. Make sure you also choose number 6 to unmute yourself. The 3-minute timer will show on one of the video screens to help keep track of time. If you have issues speaking and being heard, please disconnect from the Zoom meeting and call 360-972-6785 to make your public comment. Also, please state your name and where you live, your address, please, when as you're going for the public record. So let's see who we got here. Oops, wrong end. So it looks like Patrick Townsend.
Commissioners, thank you again for a chance to comment. Really two areas I want to talk about today. First off are the Patrick Townsend in Boston Harbor again. So the classification under the new S&P for some properties in Boston Harbor are probably incorrect and inaccurate. It looks like some of them are going to be classified as rural conservancy. Based on other comments, this may substantially inhibit property owners like myself from doing restoration projects. Our shoreline property has a failing bulkhead, and we are engaged with Thurston Conservation District around a restoration, a bank restoration, and a bulkhead removal project. So it's very important that we get these classifications correct, and would ask for Thurston County to review those. And I think you'll hear that from other people today too. So that's the first comment that I have. Secondly, the S&P as it's proposed probably embodies some of the worst outcomes for the environment possible. I'm really disappointed in the work product that we're seeing from the S&P. We support and agree with the environmental groups like the Sierra Club that we need stronger environmental protection of the tidelands. I want to just again note, a federal judge terminated and vacated every single aquaculture permit in the state of Washington that the Army Corps of Engineers had issued. Every single one, 900 plus permits, thousands of acres, and that was done because of a lack of environmental attention on the part of the Army Corps and violation of federal law. Thurston County's process is very similar to the Army Corps. So it's really important that here in Thurston County, we should be focused on doing the right thing for the environment. We all know that Puget Sound is under a lot of stress and pressure. So the S&P, the proposed S&P is just a failure on the environmental front when it comes to the tidelands. There are non-existent environmental controls for the tidelands. There's an absence of inspection and monitoring of the projects that go into effect. The whole premise here is based on a failed no net loss strategy. We should really be looking at a net gain strategy around the tidelands. It's all based on a mitigation strategy. When you look at what the Army Corps specifies in terms of mitigations, it's very similar to what we see in the Thurston County area, and that's completely failed to protect Puget Sound. So I'm just asking the commissioners to think about the S&P in terms of a decision of conscience. We don't often face these in our lives. But in this respect, I think I'm just asking for you to think about not approving or not putting your stamp of approval on a proposal that I think is a failed strategy. So thank you for the time to comment. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up, I have Larry Seal.
Yes, my name is Lawrence Seal. I live near the prior respondent, Patrick Townsend, on 77th Avenue Northeast. We've owned a home here since 1990. and basically echoing his thoughts. When the draft SMP was released in 2017, our shoreline, which is on Zangle Cove, was designated as a shoreline residential area. And I think that's also consistent with having just gone through the open house material on the SMP. It indicates that shoreline residential is consistent with places that have been platted and developed. And that's our case. This area has been, is basically like a normal residential area. It's very similar to the part of the Boston Harbor neighborhood that is on the west side of Dover Point near the Boston Harbor Marina. Which is already designated as shoreline residential area. So there's no difference really. And I do think that that would be the appropriate designation for this area as well, which is currently under the proposal, would be a rural conservancy designation. And in the interest of your time, I'll just stop my remarks right there.
Thank you, sir. Next up is either M. Duffy or J. Najedli, I believe.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
You're good.
This is Mary Beth Duffy. I'm a family physician and a Thurston County resident for greater than 20 years. This is actually the first time I've actually spoken to the Thurston County Planning Commission. With that, I'll let you know that I am a resident of Boston Harbor and do have some concerns about the proposed designation change. I'm an advocate for wellness and preventative care, and I believe a strong advocate also for clean water and clean air. I also own waterfront property and enjoy use of the waterfront. Our properties here in the immediate Boston Harbor community are densely populated in an area of surrounding rural. So we were a planned community for those of you who haven't been out here. And as such, in the late 1980s, long before this was a requirement, we actually as a community funded our own sewage treatment facility to protect the water quality of the South Puget Sound. The proposed change that we're facing, which would be to change it to setting that is for undeveloped property, is inappropriate, I believe, for our properties that are fully developed and residential. Just to highlight one point, our street is being designated different than the other side of our street just because of it turning a corner. So we all share the same sewage treatment or septic treatment facility and water facility. And so it's inconsistent with the rest of the community, but it's also, I think, an inappropriate designation given the reasons that others have mentioned, but also I think in that we already have committed to trying to protect our community and our environment. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your comments with us. I'm not seeing any other hands at this. Oh, there goes one. Nope. I'm not seeing any other hands at this time. Looks like a Meredith Rafferty. Possibly, or did we get to John Woodford? I'm sorry, John Woodford, are you? Oh God, good grief.
Commissioners, yes, can you hear me? This is John
Woodford. There you go.
I live on Holmes Island on Long Lake. I just want to comment very briefly on the SMP. I know that the public hearing is coming up at your next meeting. I feel that Andy is doing a huge task and trying to do his very best at processing comments that come in and so on. But there's one great fallacy in the way the open house is being operated and so on. Yes, people can call in, they can email, and Andy's trying to get answers out to everybody. But there is absolutely no transparency in the way the open house is being operated. And as you all know, transparency has been a big issue with me on this whole thing, the whole SMP process. But there's no way to see comments that are made by other members of the public. Only the replies to these specific person who sends in a response. And the whole idea, and I know I spoke with Andy, and he's going to try someday to publish all of the comments and responses. But I can't see this happening before the public hearing. But it's that kind of sharing of information from people. People pick up ideas that they may have overlooked. The whole concept of sharing is just not there. And I think I don't see that anything can be done at this point, but I just think it should go on record that it's really a true failure of being an open house. We'll see you later. Goodbye.
Thanks, sir. Meredith Rafferty.
Thank you and good evening. Meredith Rafferty, 618 77th Avenue Northeast, also in Boston Harbor. Indeed, we've been in Boston Harbor for some 30 some odd years. And certainly regard ourselves as very much part of the Boston Harbor community. As mentioned, the community shares a lot, and it even shares several years ago the initiative to establish its own wastewater and water system to address environmental issues. And as we approach completing the update of the shoreline management plan, we have been participating since 2015. And my comments tonight are reflecting the shoreline designation. We are densely located on this stretch of shoreline. Technically, it's MBU, MBU 16. And we request, are requesting a review and recharacterization of that shoreline. We have some different geological features in it and believe that it warrants a review and a recharacterization to shoreline residential. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak on any subject? Looks like, well, I see a John Marshall, but he's kind of coming and going. So let's give it a go. Go ahead, John.
My name is John Marshall. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're good.
All right. My wife reside at 544 77th Avenue Northeast, Olympia, Washington. And my wife, Rita, and I have lived on the west side of Zangle Cove for more than 40 years. The shoreline designation of the west side of Zangle Cove, MBU 16 to 17, was shoreline residential in the 2017 Shoreline Master Update. Now that designation is being changed to Rural Conservancy, while the balance of shorelines in Boston Harbor remain shoreline residential. The west side of Zangle Cove is in the Boston Harbor neighborhood, we all share the same sewer water system that was approved and constructed in 1990, is managed by Thurston County, and was paid for by local residents through assessment. Most rural conservancy properties are on septic tanks and private water systems. In addition, most rural conservancy properties have meets and bounds legal descriptions. All properties in the Boston Harbor neighborhood, of which we are a part, are fully platted with lot and block numbers on a plat that was recorded in 1907 by a Seattle developer. The shoreline properties on the west side of Zangle Cove are virtually the same as those located between Doffelmayer and Geel Points, MBU 15 to 16. We all tend to have bulkheads. All shorelines were cleared of native vegetation and trees years ago. All have single family residences that are situated close to the shoreline, and we all share the same neighborhood character. We should all have the same shoreline designation of shoreline residential. Lastly, if any Thurston County staff members responsible for recommending the revised shoreline designations actually been on site to inspect the Boston Harbor shorelines, which are basically all the same? Overhead views, such as Google Maps, can be misleading and should not be totally relied upon. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for sharing your thoughts. Is there anybody else that would like to speak at the public comment period? Okie doke, we're moving on. So I'm asking for a little guidance here also.
Jim, you had one more fellow. You had one more from the public. Lee was on, had his hand up, but I see it went down now. Never mind.
Okay. Thanks, Eric, for checking up on. There he is. Okay, Lee.
Yes, thank you. This is Lee. I'm sorry. I'm glad I was able to speak. 2103 Harrison Avenue, Northwest, Olympia, Washington, 98502. I wanted to speak about the Upcastle rezone. I recently was speaking to a dear friend of mine who lives near the proposed Upcastle rezone, and that we were talking about farmland. And let's face it, all
hey,
of us.
Hey, Lee, I'm gonna hold you off if you're talking about the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're having a public hearing in a few minutes. Could you come back?
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. I guess my question, Maya, is we're like 5 minutes away from the public hearing starting. Do we start on the work session or just move into the public hearing or take a 5 minute break? I don't know.
Yeah, we could start the work session and then pause it for the public hearing. I would recommend holding the public hearing until 7 o'clock sharp, because that's what our noticing states. So it's the Planning Commission's discretion if they want to start that and then pick it up after the hearing, or if they would just like to push that to the end of the night, if we still have time for it. So
I'm looking for thoughts on that, you guys. It seems like we should start. My thinking is we do the work session after the public hearing, because I think the public hearing is going to be kind of long, and maybe we won't. Yeah, maybe we'll just be tired by then. I don't know. Any thoughts?
You want to do our calendars now?
Yeah, that'd be good. Is that all right with everybody? And maybe Maya,
if you're here,
we could do the staff updates also. So let's start with that, with the staff updates. We'll just put you on the spot here.
Great. So I have a few staff updates for the Planning Commission. As you all know, Jennifer Davis's last day was September 30th, so she is no longer with the county anymore. But Christina Chapeau is the interim community planning manager in her stead. And I don't believe she'll typically be attending these meetings, but she may pop in from time to time. So she'll be acting interim manager until that position gets filled. In regards to Shoreline Master Program, we do have the hearing scheduled for October 20th, and there is an in-person and a virtual option for that. Please let Polly know in advance if you do plan on attending in person. I think we've only had one so far who's confirmed that they'll be there in person, but we will have staff available to help facilitate for the public and make sure that they can submit their comments in person as well. And a note from Andy about one of the comments received tonight about the public open house comments that he is receiving. He does intend to put all of those online, and his goal to have that available to the public is probably by next week. So those will be publicly available for everyone to see, and he's working to get that up on the webpage. And then the last two updates I have are looking forward to the calendar, so this will move nicely into your next item. November 3rd, we do have two public hearings scheduled for the Places of Worship Code Amendment and the Capital Improvement Program. And we did initially send out a doodle poll trying to schedule some special meetings for the Olympia Joint Plan. That is going to be delayed a little bit. So we won't be having those special meetings in October and November. We're pushing that out a little bit to allow some more department review and also to allow the public to attend to the many public hearings that we're already having. So those are my staff updates, and I don't have anything else.
Thanks, Maya. So let's do calendars real quick. We still have a few minutes. Will anybody be unable to attend the October 20th meeting? Okay, how about the November 3rd? Okay, so it looks like I have a full house. So we have a couple of minutes before 7. Let's just take like a 2-minute break and then we'll be back. Okay, so if you guys are close, let's get back. We're on 7. So today we're here, to hold a public hearing on comprehensive plan docket item number CP19. Upcastle Land Use and Rezone Amendment. The proposal would amend the land use plan and change the land use from rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres, from rural residential resource to one dwelling unit, rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres, RR1 to 5, to Rural Resource Industrial District, RR1, and rezone appropriately. Proposal would also include amendments to the Thurston County Zoning Code, Title 20, that would broaden the locational and performance criteria for certain industrial areas. This is a virtual public hearing. Those wishing to testify have joined by Zoom, phone, emailed in comment, or mailed in comment. If you wish to testify, please choose the raise your hand option. If you are dialing in, press 9 to raise your hand. The chair host will call your name and unmute you when it is your turn to speak. Make sure you also choose 6 to unmute yourself. If you have issues speaking or being heard, please disconnect from the Zoom meeting and call 360-972-6785. Each person will have 3 minutes to testify. I will be calling out names for oral testimony. When you hear your name, please come forward to testify. Time may not be given to another person. When testifying, please provide your name and address for the record. And with Polly, would you review the public comment timer, please?
Yes. Okay, so you have 3 minutes, and for the first 2.5 minutes, it'll be green. And then at that point, it will turn yellow. And when you're out of time, which is 3 minutes, it will turn red.
Thank you, Paula. We allow you a little bit of time over, but if you start going too long, we will ask you to please wrap up. So we are opening the public hearing. So we're gonna start with the staff purchase presentation by Andrew. Oops.
Hello, everyone. Let me go ahead and share my screen real quick with you. Can everyone see the presentation? Great. Yep. Okay, I'm going to dive right in. Good evening, planning commissioners. My name is Andrew Bond, an associate planner with Community Planning. Today we are here to hold a public hearing on the 2020-2021 DOCA Comprehensive Plan Amendment, item CP19, Upcastle Land Use and Rezone Amendment. The Upcastle Land Use and Rezone Amendment is a docketed citizen-initiated comprehensive plan amendment that would amend the land use designation from rural residential resource one dwelling unit per 5 acres to rural resource industrial and rezone appropriately. Included within this proposal and this request and before the public hearing is a proposed amendment to the RRI zoning district standards in Title 20 that would broaden the locational and performance criteria for industrial uses. This is the proposed zoning map. The areas highlighted with the red dashed line and painted purple are the areas proposed to change to rural resource industrial district. The area to the north and east are zoned RRR 1 to 5, and the area to the west is zoned RL 1 to 1. The properties are separated from the adjacent properties on the east and west side from two separate train lines. Lewis County is to the south with the abutting parcels containing warehouse distribution facilities. Under the proposed amendment to Title 20, a parcel zoned RRI could be permitted to do additional industrial uses as listed above, including wholesale and warehousing, if it is adjacent to an existing industrial development as of the final date of the adopted ordinance, and if it's within 500 feet of a collector or arterial roadway, as well as meeting the other criteria of not requiring urban services or facilities and having rail access to the site. Under the proposed amendment, at the request of the Planning Commission at the last meeting, staff estimated the potential impact of the code change. To do this, staff looked at current industrial zoned land, specifically RRI, that exists within unincorporated Thurston County. There is approximately 300 to 700 acres of parcels adjacent to existing RRI. Zoned parcels, which range from RRR 1 to 5, RL 1 to 1, RL R1 to 20, and RCC. These areas could potentially utilize these standards that allow for more intensive industrial uses under the amended code, only after being rezoned to RRI. Only contiguous parcels to existing industrial zoning were included in this estimation. Under the proposed amendment, a new industrial development could begin contiguous to an existing industrial development and span out away from it, leading to an unquantifiable additional acreage that could be implicated where these intensive uses could be permitted. This is not an all-inclusive estimate of the impact, since there may be industrial developments in the rural county that occur on non-industrial zone lands. For example, mineral extract may be permitted on rural resource industrial one unit per 5 acres and several other non-industrial zoning districts. One consideration for the Planning Commission to mitigate concerns over impacts of the code is to revise the ordinance to read industrial zoning as of date, instead of the current draft, which states industrial development as of date. This could reduce the potential impact of the ordinance and limit the locations and intensive industrial developments could take place. There is a work session scheduled following this hearing where the Planning Commission can discuss this more and along with any other comments that are received. Staff initiated noticing for the public hearing by publishing a legal notice in the Olympian and a web mailer that were sent out on September 1st, 2021. A notice was mailed to all properties within 500 feet of the proposed rezone on September 7th, 2021. A press release was issued on September 24th, 2021. Thurston County Community Planning updated the website with all available documents being considered prior to the public hearing. As of today at 4 p.m., staff has received 238 public comment through direct email communication. There are approximately 7 comments that are in support of the proposal, while the other 231 public comments express concern over a variety of topics, including loss of ag land, compliance with the comprehensive plan, Thurston climate climate mitigation plan, the belief that the county should docket and conduct a community-driven rule, a review of rural resources in the 2022-2023 docket cycle, and that CP16 community-driven review of agricultural policy and program should be completed prior to a decision on this project. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Jim, you're muted.
It was doing really good too. Okay, so we're gonna open this up to public testimony right now. If you have a comment you'd like to share with the Planning Commission, please raise your hand. Remember that to please state your name and address for the record and keep an eye on the timer, please. So looks like I'm gonna start with Lee since we kind of cut you off earlier. So go ahead, Lee. Oops, it's not letting me unmute yet at my end.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, I appreciate being able to add my two cents tonight to this public discussion regarding this Upcastle rezone amendment. As I was saying before, 2103 Harrison Avenue, Northwest Olympia, Washington. I was talking to my friend who has property out near this proposal. And of course, he drives into Olympia every day to work, and he drives out to his beautiful home and farmland. We were talking about the availability of farms here in Thurston County, how important it is that we have farms that we can actually raise our food system. He and I and our families have been here in this area over 40 years. And we know that we have seen I-5 flood in the past. We know that at some points our area gets cut off from the rest of, from California, where most of our food comes from. And how important it is that we have this rural farmland, and it is in production. Many of his friends, his neighbors, he was telling me about them, support this. Of course, you know, I understand these warehouses want to move in, and they're offering a lot of money to these farmers. But the bottom line, we're looking for future generations to sustain themselves here in Thurston County. This climate mitigation is a big issue, being able to have lands out next to I-5 going all the way south that can take in the flood waters. Seems like the trees in the hills are being cut down at a tremendous rate. They're no longer uptaking the precipitation. And so the bottom line is, for climate mitigation, it's very important also to keep these agricultural lands. I know that we were talking about the facility has to have their own stormwater. We were talking about having the stormwater from this proposed facility pumped into the aquifer, and the problems of that. Essentially, it's hurting the aquifer, perhaps polluting the aquifer. Many of these homes out there rely on the aquifer for their own drinking water. So I'm just hoping you really consider these issues that will impact our local neighbors and will impact future generations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Charlotte Persons. Are you there, Charlotte?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Can now.
Great. Okay. I'm Charlotte Persons. I live at 903 Glass Avenue Northeast in Olympia, and I'm speaking on behalf of Black Hills Audubon Society about CP19. We sent you detailed written comments on September 14th. Black Hills Audubon Society urges you to vote for option number one in the October 6th staff report, the no change option. First, this is fertile farmland with continued value for agriculture. The two parcels in the proposal have been farmed for many years. Both have excellent soil. Please protect this farmland for agricultural use. Second, the requested code language is flawed because it results in the opposite of land use planning. It results in wide-scale land use changes that cannot be predicted. Estimates in the October 6th staff report, as you heard, are only 300 to 700 acres immediately adjacent to RR zone land being affected. However, the number of acres of rural land that could be affected by the requested code change is actually only limited by the total acreage in the county. It's basically infinite. On page 6 of this report is the statement you already heard, that under the proposed amendment, a new industrial development could begin contiguous to an existing industrial development and span out away from it, leading to unquantifiable additional acreage that could be impacted where these more intensive uses could be permitted. Finally, we don't need a new study to find out where to locate more industrial land in Thurston County. The 2021 Buildable Lands Report shows that within the urban growth boundaries of our cities, we have more than twice the amount of acreage needed for industrial siting for the next 20 years. Thurston County's comprehensive plan and the code based on it embody two important values from the Growth Management Act: preserving the rural character of land outside the urban growth boundaries of our cities, and conservation of agricultural land. Let's keep our current codes. We urge you to vote for option number 1 in the staff report, no change, to protect this particular farmland, to prevent industrialization throughout our rural lands, and to support the values of our existing comprehensive plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Loretta Seppinen.
Hello, commission members. I'm Loretta Seppinen, 2919 Southeast Orange Street in Olympia. I speak in opposition to the proposed Upcastle rezone request. And I not only am in opposition to the rezone, I'm in opposition to the proposed code change with its much broader impact on other rural residential resource zones. Agricultural land should not be rezoned until the results of the community-driven review of agriculture policies and programs are approved and they're implemented to give this county stronger protection against farmland conversion. The larger parcel that we're talking about here is farmland where hay is grown. The land continues today in ag open space tax status, even though the current owners have not maintained their hay fields as a source of income. It's not just people like me in the city, but farmers who have written to you to say, don't rezone this property. The county's Agricultural Advisory Committee is a committee of all rural residents, and it's predominantly ranchers and farmers. They sent you a comment letter. It says that as a group they oppose, it says that they strongly oppose this rezone. And they give you reasons. Given that some rural landowners, like these Upcastle landowners, have an interest in warehouse development on this on the properties, the county should do a study. The study should determine if, how, and where rural warehouses meet community interests and fit the Growth Management Act requirements. That study should happen before approving any warehouse-related code changes or rezones. The comment letter you received from FutureWise documents how this particular language code change for rural land goes beyond what is permitted under the Growth Management Act. I ask you to reject the proposed code change because it would violate the Growth Management Act. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Esther Cronenberg.
Hello. I think this idea of doing this rezone is a terrible...
I'm sorry, Esther, could you state your name and where you live?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Esther Cronenberg, 36th Avenue, Northwest, Olympia.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think this rezone is a terrible and awful idea because it opens up our rural lands to exploitation. It's against the comprehensive plan that says it's supposed to preserve farmland, and that'll make it even more so against the comp plan now that there have been new restrictions added through the Endangered Species Act to South Puget Sound. It interferes with the habitat conservation plan because there's prairie land on there, the gopher land. And to do this before an upcoming review of the ag lands is tantamount to doing spot zoning and is giving granting special privileges and immunities to one person, which doesn't even sound legal. As the previous speaker said, it's against the Growth Management Act. So I've handed in comments. I agree with everything that's been said before against it. And I say, let Lewis County keep their warehouses, but Thurston County values its farmland. So I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Judith Olmstead.
Okay, can you hear me? I think I unmuted.
Got you. You're good.
Okay, so Judy Olmstead, residing in West Olympia at 1620 Woodard Avenue Northwest. And I'm also a member of Audubon, and I am also, surprise, surprise, here, requesting that you follow option one and that the upcapsule proposal not be made an exception, that we have to wait to change the comprehensive plan until after the completion of CP16. And I don't have much new to add to what others have said. I endorse it. I'm just saying, I don't believe in letting camels' noses in the tent. And that's what this would be. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your thoughts. Next up is Charlotte Persons.
I think she already spoke. Oh, no, she spoke second, unless there's
another. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't get her hand down. Then we're at Katie Hoover.
Well, it's actually Ryan Hoover.
That works.
Yeah, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. My wife and I's property is part of the UP Castle proposed land use and rezone amendment. So we're obviously in favor of it. My name is Ryan Hoover and I live at 5641 222nd Avenue Southwest, Centralia address, but in Thurston County. And other than a few years living in Lewis County as a juvenile and some time away in the military, I have been a Thurston County resident my whole life. Since around 1999, I've lived in the Southwest section of Thurston County, specifically Rochester and the Grand Mount area. My wife, Katie, was born and raised in Rochester area herself. Katie is a registered nurse and I have worked for Thurston County for over 20 years. We purchased our property in 2007 and live here with our four kids, ranging in age from 16 to 7. Our property is just over 4 acres and to the south of our fence line is Lewis County, as you know. To the immediate west is the Puget Sound Pacific Active Rail Line and Old Highway 99 beyond that. To the north is 222nd and to the east is the UP Castle property, which extends over to and butts into another rail line and I-5. Directly behind or south of the UP Castle property is Michael's Warehouse, Port of Centralia, and other industrial businesses. Old Highway 99 runs north and south approximately 150 to 200 yards to the west, and we listen to constant traffic at all hours. The Puget Sound Pacific rail line traffic seems to have doubled since we have lived here, and oftentimes the train stops just outside our window and blocks the railroad crossing and uncouples cars, causing loud crashes and banging noises. We hear activity like truck traffic and banging noises coming from Michael's Warehouse at all hours as well. And I don't want to forget about the constant drone of I-5 about half a mile away. I don't think anyone can deny the significant population increase in the Rochester and Grand Mount area
which has brought a lot of residential and commercial growth. We would never have thought that the Great Wolf Lodge itself would wind up about a mile and a half north of us in Grand Mound. The growth seems to be heading south from Grand Mound and north from Lewis County, and we're in between. We noticed a lot of negative comments about this proposal posted on the Planning Commissioner's website yesterday, and we respect others' opinions, but we didn't recognize the names of any of our neighbors as being the ones that made these comments. Our properties were referred to as rural and farmland multiple times in these comments, but we don't feel those are accurate descriptions of what our properties are. Do we live in the city? Absolutely not. It seems like more of a suburb anymore around here. Is it farmland? Well, we do have a field, a few animals running around it, and we did try to grow a garden, but weren't very successful. Other than that, there is no farming going on here. The UP Castle property hasn't been used for agriculture since we've lived here, and it has never been, and if it has ever been, and no matter the outcome of this discussion, I suspect it won't be in farmland going forward. Another negative comment we saw was about the big heavy warehouse trucks having trouble with the little farming roads and the farmers having problems with the constant traffic. Big heavy commercial trucks are up and down Old 99 constantly now, but there is no disputing the fact that some infrastructure improvements would probably be needed. Neither I-5 or Old 99 are little tiny farming roads, and anyone who lives here knows these are major thoroughfares that have already had some recent upgrades. As for farmers having trouble with added traffic, I'm not sure which farm would be affected. We are not even aware of any farms in the immediate area anywhere along Old 99. I'm sure there are more negative comments and issues brought up than what I touched on, but honestly, we don't have time to look at all of them. In my years living and working in this county, I have seen properties and existing businesses get gobbled up by the cities during annexation. I'm only a layman and would never claim to know or understand all the ins and outs of this process, but I have seen potential revenue going to the cities, not the county. I do feel confident the county could use more revenue sources as well, since my coworkers and I haven't had raises in over 15 years. In closing, I again thank you for allowing me to speak and listening to our thoughts on the matter. I hope that when making your decision, you consider the opinions or lack thereof the people that actually live in the affected area, not just the opinions of those who don't. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else that would like to speak on this subject? I'm not seeing any other hands. Oh, there we go. Looks like Raymond Schuler.
Yes, I'm unmuted now.
Yep, we can hear you.
Thank you. So earlier today, I submitted some written comments. My name is Raymond Schuler. I live at 4430 Paradise Avenue West in University Place. And I am the other proponent of UP Castle. And it's named after University Place, so it's not exactly Up Castle. A couple things I'd like to say. I mean, we are trying to follow the Growth Management Act. We've been in this process for 2 or 3 years. Following the rules. And so you've had people tonight say that we're not complying with the Growth Management Act. That's not true. Secondly, we had people say that the property should be profitable as a haying property. Yeah, and we had to pay to have the hay removed and finally found somebody who would take it for free. It's certainly not a profitable place to try to farm. And the former owners gave up on farming it years ago. Like the Hoovers, we expect, we feel that the growth is coming our way. We feel that this is a great way to take advantage of the federal opportunity zone that somebody at Thurston County decided that this census tract should be an opportunity zone. An opportunity zone is designed to encourage investment in businesses that create jobs. And so that's what triggered our initial application. Following the Growth Management Act, we feel like we've done what we need to do to put this through. And like the Hoovers, we have not seen any neighbor comments, anyone who lives in the actual vicinity opposing this. This is being opposed by people. I wrote down a few addresses who live in Olympia, Northeast Olympia. They represent their own constituency. They don't own the real estate. They are just trying to control real estate that they don't own. And I think they have the people who said that we're not following growth management, they're not lawyers. We followed the process, and we're hopeful that by following the process, we can do our part to try to create some employment in South Thurston County. And by the way, we have a no gopher letter from the Fish and Wildlife Service. So whoever said that it's a gopher habitat is incorrect. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Marcy Cleaver. Marcy, you need to unmute yourself.
Thank you.
There you go.
I've been listening to all the comments, and one of the things that strikes me, it sounds like there's already a process in place to look at ag in the community, retaining the ag land, and.
Marcy, you accidentally muted yourself again. Could you unmute?
Okay, should I start again?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, I'm not touching anything. I'm listening to this conversation this evening, and one of my takeaways is that it seems that there's been a lot of studies done, a lot of papers written that support the rural atmosphere in Thurston County, that support farmers and farming, and that this particular proposal seems to leapfrog over all of that. In the meantime, the county is looking at ag lands and doing a study that's probably going to take another year to finish. And it seems to me that this process should wait and get that kind of input and look at everything, not just this process here, that this is kind of an abnormal thing. I mean, it's probably following the rules because it wouldn't get this far if it wasn't, but it doesn't seem to be the will of the people of Thurston County. You know, there needs to be a certain amount of ag in the community to support the businesses that support the farmers. They need a certain mass of farmers that come to them to buy their products. And as we continue to lose like 3,000 acres of farmland a year in Thurston County, these businesses get squeezed. And pretty soon the mass that they need to stay in business is not there. And given that we've already got a lot of warehouse land, why would we want to go out and pave soil that's good for growing stuff on? Because it's not been growing doesn't mean that it can't grow. And I know there's hay farmers out there. We have a shortage of good hay in Thurston County. People that have animals end up importing a lot from Eastern Washington with a huge carbon footprint. And those few people that do grow good hay here, they got more customers and not enough hay for those folks. Odorman Farm is an example. And so there's just a lot of need for hay, and there's farmers out there willing to do it, that if they were to advertise, you would find people who would want that. And the Thurston County Conservation District has a farmer farm link program that would help people that have land to link up with farmers. And I encourage people that have farmland that they're not using it to look at that, because there's the need, but there's the communication gap. And while I know that these people want to create jobs, go up to the warehouse district up by the Target warehouse. There's all kinds of jobs up there, and we've got plenty of land. We don't need to be paving over more soil, because that's a one-way street. Once it's paved, it's not going back. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. CW.
Good evening, commissioners. Can you hear me all right? This is Christy White from the Delphi Valley.
Hi, Christy. We got you.
Good evening. There's a lot of extraordinary comment and diligence on this issue of the CPA 19. And walking away from all this, I think there's just a lot more work that needs to be done. The ramifications of this decision is like taking a knitted blanket and pulling out one thread And the whole thing unravels because of the ripple effect, not just of this one property, but throughout the county. So I strongly encourage that, you know, you don't make a decision and that there's more diligence done about the entire impact of changing the code, looking at this one property, and not go forward with approving this land use and rezone amendment, that we take the time and the diligence. I won't reiterate all the other comments from people because it is an extraordinary body of work from everyone. So that would be my ask of you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. We're up to Sharon Koontz.
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me fine?
We got you.
Thank you. First, I wanted to contradict something that the owner of UP said. Tim Trahimovich is an attorney, and that's who wrote that piece of letter for Future Rise on discussing the problems with this piece of or this code change or whatever it officially is, the rezone, in terms of the Growth Management Act. So there were attorneys involved, obviously. Second, if I lived where, well, if I were their neighbors, I know I'm sure they'd be referring to me as a NIMBY. It's nice not to be called that. I forgot to tell you where I live, 3716 85th Northwest in Olympia. So we won't be called a NIMBY, but in fact, all of us are indeed affected by this. Changes in our county affect all of us. My main concern right now, and I'd really love an answer to this if someone could help me, is to find out how it happens and who made it happen, that this one section would alter several other areas' zonings. It's an amazing element that scares me. It strikes me as an end run around and a negation of years of often intensive zoning efforts by staff and citizens. And this frightens me that this would somehow get into one individual rezone. And I hope at some point someone will point out how that happened and make sure it doesn't happen again, whether it's staff, whether it's planning commission, whether it's the person who, the applicant. There's something very scary about that and some investigation, I believe, needs doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. John Woodford.
Good evening, commissioners. John Woodford, 7541 Holmes Island Road, Olympia. I've commented in the past during public communication periods on this project, and very briefly, I just say keep rural Thurston County rural. I think this is a totally inappropriate rezoning request and will lead to kind of random rezoning of agricultural lands that just are totally inappropriate and can lead to rezoning of other parcels as a result of this. It's not either the planning staff or the planning commission's role to provide profits for landowners through the rezoning of their lands to more intensive use. There's a reason why these properties were loaned zoned rural in the first place. And I think a real hard look needs to be taken before making any changes on this property or other properties in the county. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for sharing with us. Is there anybody else that would like to share on this subject? She was there. Anybody else? Okay. Looks like Sue Denver.
Hi, I kept on raising and lowering my hand, I guess.
I got you.
What?
We got you.
Okay. I'm wondering if Maya can pull up a map that came up already tonight. It's on page 7 of CP19.
We're just asking for your comments right now, ma'am. So
Oh, okay. It would be helpful to have a map.
We have it in front of
us. Okay. I oppose the rezone and I oppose the code change. So I'm for option one. I'm going to get a little specific tonight. I am concerned about the lack of consideration that the code change could have on conservation areas in this county. We have over 10,000 acres of conservation lands and land trust lands that millions of dollars have gone into. And if you look at the areas that got mapped on that CP19 map, there are areas that are the focus of conservation agencies that want to have and want to continue to protect. We have Miller Savannah Park. We have West Rocky Prairie. We have Quality Rock Products, which is next to the Black River National Wildlife Refuge. We have Little Rock, which is near Mama Mounds and Glacier Heritage Park. All of these are part of the 10,000 acres. But when this got mapped on that CP19, there was no reference to the fact that there are conservation lands and basically hundreds of feet from where this could get into industrial development. So I'm very concerned. And why I'm concerned is that I am familiar with Black Hills Audubon studies of warehousing. And the biggest problem about warehousing is impervious surface. We're talking million square feet warehousing that will have runoff. The runoff would be near these wildlife areas. The runoff have toxic products in it. And when it's a big storm event, the runoff has the potential of going into the aquifer, polluting our drinking water. So I would like consideration. I oppose this whole zone and the code, but we have to look at how this endangers decades of work to protect our conservation lands. I think that's close. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you for sharing your comments with us. Anybody else would like to share, please raise your hand. Going once, going twice. Okay, we're closing the public hearing. And now we will, if you guys are all agreeable as far as Planning Commission, we'll move to a work session on the discussion we've just been having. So Andrew?
Hello, let me go ahead and share my screen one more time. And this is just for one slide. Can everyone see the recommendation slide? Can I get a thumbs up? Can you see it?
It's visible.
Okay. So more or less, we have created multiple options for the Planning Commission to consider. If the Planning Commission feels prepared to make a recommendation to deny, we have drafted a recommendation that would follow through with just following the current proposal as is, as well as we've created additional options for the Planning Commission to consider, including changing industrial development to industrial zoning. And then previously mentioned at other previous meetings with the Planning Commission was the idea of holding a review on the industrial zoning. And wait to kind of evaluate it from a whole county perspective. Sorry that didn't come out so well. So I will go ahead and stop sharing my screen and I'm available for any questions that the Planning Commission may have.
Yeah, so I'd like to jump in and add something real quick before we open this up for discussion. As you saw, you received a ton of written public comment. You also had several folks comment in person. A lot of those were citizens and just concerned residents of Thurston County, but I do want to note that we received a few from organizations that are tucked in that packet. So the Agricultural Committee did submit a written comment. We did receive a comment from FutureWise, which is the agency that frequently appeals the county on proposals. And Andrew, were there any other major organizations that submitted comments in addition to Black Hills Audubon Society? Do you recall?
There was not. Okay. It was those, the big three.
And then the two applicants who own the two properties as well, one of them did submit a written comment, and then they both spoke tonight at this public hearing. So I just want to call out some of those bigger groups that weighed in on this topic. But now we can open it up for discussion. And if we need to click back to any code language before talking about that, this is really time for follow-up questions and the Planning Commission to chat about this proposal.
Andrew, before we started, during your presentation, you said we had how many public comments?
238 as of 4 p.m.
Okay, so I'm just going to say right off the bat, I am not comfortable making a motion tonight or voting on this because we've only received 180 of those. And I need to read the other 50 before I can make a decision. Whether or not they change my mind, I don't know, but I'm not going to make a decision without reading them.
I agree with Scott. I think first of all, before we do make a recommendation, I think we need to have more discussion. Or are there any other questions about this? This is a very impactful conversation that we need to have, I still believe. And I don't feel prepared to make a recommendation at this point myself. So any other
question? Would this code change promote any kind of a domino effect later on for adjacent properties as they go?
It does allow for the option for future properties to utilize this the adjacent industrial zoning or use if the properties were rezoned to RRI. So it would potentially create a domino effect, you could say. But it would specifically, if the parcels are adjacent and they're not zoned RRI, they would still have to go through the Planning Commission process to be rezoned. But the potential is there, yes.
If we did set this off to have a recommendation come up at another day after we had an opportunity to read the rest of the public comment, when would we do that? How far off would we have to push it off? I know that our calendar is pretty packed full through the end of the year.
Yeah, so what I would be looking for from the Planning Commission tonight is what more information do you need? I've heard that you'd like to read all the public comments, and I completely respect that. It's a huge packet, and I would encourage that. But is there any other additional information that you'd like before making a recommendation? Do you want staff to bring back a short PowerPoint that just recaptures the proposal and the kind of big highlights that relate to this under GMA and county policy and public comment? Are there other questions that you'd like us to bring back to the Planning Commission? And the first date that we could probably bring this item back is November 3rd. And that would potentially mean delaying the LID work session a little bit further out. So we could shuffle stuff around to bring this item back on the first meeting in November.
I do have one question. If we're going to take a look at this in November, how far reaching would this domino effect, or could this domino effect actually be?
So the land use change and the rezoning is specific to the properties, but the code change, which would allow for additional types of more intensive industrial uses, is much farther reaching. And the reason the code change is being proposed is because the type of use that the applicant wants to do on that property cannot be done under the current regulations for that zoning district. So in order to do their desired use, the code change would need to go along with the proposal. As Andrew mentioned, we did kind of a baseline analysis of that. And we looked at rural resource industrial zoning districts within Thurston County. There's a couple hundred acres of that across the county. And we looked at lands that are adjacent to those currently zoned industrial lands. I think it was about 300 to 700 acres are adjacent to those industrial lands. So that's kind of a baseline number, 300 to 700 acres. However, as the code is written right now, it says as long as it's adjacent to an industrial development, then they would be able to do those more intensive rural resource industrial uses like warehousing. And that language is important because industrial development does not necessarily mean industrially zoned. We can have industrial developments that occur on rural resource lands, like mineral extraction is a great example. So that really is what makes the proposal as it's currently written a bit more unquantifiable. There could be several hundreds, potentially thousands more acres that are impacted of lands that are next to industrial uses like mineral extraction or something else that are not captured in that analysis. But that's a discussion for the Planning Commission to have. So that's a change that you could direct staff to make to change that language from industrial development to industrial zone. And that would mitigate some of that concern. It would really narrow the scope of where those types of more intensive industrial uses can occur.
Maya, if we did want to do a countywide comprehensive review of industrial lands before acting on this, where would that fit into the schedule? Would that be a 2022 project or a 2023 project? Or, I mean, that's a pretty big project on its own.
That would be a very large project. And so the way I would see that moving forward is if that was something that the Planning Commission felt strongly about, you could produce that in a recommendation. We would bring that before the board and we would ask for the board kind of how they want to handle that. Do they want to continue reviewing this proposal as an individual item, or do they want to hold off and consider docketing a bigger countywide review of industrial lands? And then that would need to go through the docketing process. It would need to be officially docketed by the board. When they choose to do that is completely at their discretion. It could happen as early as 2022. It could happen a couple years from now. But you're correct. That would be a very large project. It would be kind of up there with the ag project that's going on now because it would require the holistic look at the entire county. And we have a full docket right now. We're still working on items on the current docket. We have a number of new applications that come in every single year. So where that falls on that scale of projects is really just at the discretion of the board and their priorities.
If we were to continue just reviewing this singular project, but it affects all the others that we are talking about right now, possibly, mm-hmm. Is that correct? Am I thinking this right?
The specific code change could potentially affect siting industrial lands in the future. This particular project would not necessarily affect other amendments that are in play. I can think of one other very large request that we have for an industrial rezone that is on the current docket. And that specific application probably wouldn't need a code change for that request to be met. But that's not to say that we won't receive more applications that could be affected by this code change, because we're getting them in every single day. And I get calls every single day about these industrial rezones. So, we could receive new applications that are affected by this code change, and that could change the game for them. They could do more intensive uses potentially.
I guess my thought is if we do this code change, more people will jump on the wagon and get it to. They'll see the change and they'll be able to move forward faster, or they'll be more motivated.
That's possible. I will say we have a very strong flow of this already. So I mean, I don't know. I think the will is already there for these types of rezones, and we're already seeing these types of applications come in from a number of different groups. So there's a push even without the code change. And I can't really speak to how much that would affect new rezones coming in. It's possible that we could see a big influx. And you know, the commissioners are just going to have to weigh what that really means for the county, because these are major future land use changes. They're big visionary changes for the rural area of the county. So,
as I've stated in the past, I'm in favor of a holistic approach, in the sense that I think we should look at the strategy long term and not nickel and dime ourselves as we go along. We could spend less time in the long term that way and take project by project by project.
So what's the thought, everybody?
I tend to agree with Doug on this, that the idea of piecemealing these together I'm not real comfortable with that, especially with combine that with huge code language changes. And I would really prefer to see a countywide holistic approach to the whole topic instead of one by one. But I still want to read the other comments too, but I don't know if the other comments are really going to change my mind a whole lot unless there's something pretty novel inside them.
I also am in favor of going with Doug and Don. I'm also in favor of taking a larger picture. This ripple effect is concerning. And if we take care of just this one thing right now, it'll be another tomorrow. So looking at the whole thing in toto, I think, is a better idea.
Kevin?
This is Kevin. I echo those comments.
Okay. I'd like to hear from Scott, our farmer.
You're muted, Scott.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to fix. I guess I'm the same place I was when we started this discussion. I've got an idea what I think we should do, but I'm not willing to move forward with anything until I've read the rest of the comments. And I don't have anything that I really need staff to tell me. I just need to, maybe I will after I read the other comments, but I mean, there's like 50 other comments. That's a lot that I think we need to probably get through. And I've scanned through I've read most of the ones that we got already. I scanned through all of them, and that's just where I stand, is I need more time.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Donna, you have anything to say?
I already said what I thought. I think
I was asking Donna. You need to unmute yourself, Donna. Maybe I can do it here. Hang on.
Donna, if you press down on your space bar and hold that, you can speak. Now, keep holding it down.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Oh, you went back to mute, Donna.
Okay, so is it?
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Then, I would like to have the Thurston County that I know and all of us know, that people come here from King County and other places because we have in Thurston County one of the best places to raise a family, and if you're elderly, there's things for us there too, and it's just a wonderful place in Thurston County, and people come now from Seattle because it's too crowded, and Seattle used to be really nice, and Now, Thurston County is the place that people come to now. I've seen that. They're coming from Seattle and wanting to stay in Thurston County. And so we should hold on to our beauty of our rural area. And what the option looks like is people want to they want to live in a very nice place, and that means nature. They would like to be having a lot of just a healthy place to raise children and to be yourself if you're older, and then it just fits right. And it's so this Thurston County is an ideal place for people that want a beautiful place and without so many problems and things like that. And we have great medical areas, medical things here that are better than most any other place. So it's just a great place to be here, to live here. And if we don't keep that up, and then we'll just be like any other place, like anyway, Thurston County is really just a lovely place to be, and so I wouldn't want it to be changed very much. And I think most everybody that comes here would say the same thing.
Thanks, Donna. Okay, so it seems like the consensus is we're going to need some more time. So are we going the whole route, the whole holistic, try to figure out everything? Or are we just going to kind of hold off for a couple of weeks, a month, and just give everybody a chance to finish kind of reading and studying up on their own? What's the thought about that?
Well, Jim, I thought that we would have them bring this back November 3rd for us to take a vote on a recommendation, which would be to either move forward with it or not move forward with it, or some sort of combination of the two. So if we push this off to November 3rd, so we have time to read the rest of the comments, I think that would be satisfactory to at least me.
Okay. How's that with everybody else? I'm seeing a lot of yes and yes. Okay. So I guess that's the direction for staff. If that works for you, well, you guys got no choice, I guess. So good luck. Okay, so we kind of got that. Let's move on. Do you guys, I'm going to leave it up to a vote here. Should we continue on with the low impact development work sessions, or are you guys ready to call it a night?
Just to add real quick, the LID work session should be fairly quick. It's a short presentation. It's only about 6 slides, and it's just informational. So we just wanted to introduce the topic and then gear it up for a later meeting. So we don't anticipate it will take that long, but you can use that in making your decision.
You guys game?
All right, Andrew, take it away.
Okay, let me go ahead and share my screen again. Like Maya said, it is a fairly short presentation. So let me find my script and we can get going. Again, my name is Andrew Bond, an associate planner with Community Planning. This evening I'm presenting on the Low Impact Development LID Code Amendment that would amend various chapters throughout Title 20 and Title 23. Staff has, oh, sorry.
Andrew, your screen is not shared yet.
It's not. Okay. Well, good to know. Okay.
Now we can see it.
Perfect. Okay. Let's just keep on moving. The low impact development code amendment is a county initiated project to address challenges with implementing specific parts of the LID regulations. The Department of Ecology requires implementation of a low impact development principles and best management practices as part of the development regulations under the county's Western Washington Phase 2 municipal stormwater permit. The purpose of the LID is to minimize impervious surface, native vegetation loss, and stormwater runoff in all types of development situations where feasible. In 2016, the county adopted LID regulations to County Development Code Ordinance 15355. However, in April 2020, the county added LID on the 2020-2021 Development Code docket to address specific issues in a targeted approach. The amendments particularly address impervious surface limits for small lots. The board prioritizes projects 7 out of 16 in the Development Code amendments. The board specified 4 aspects to address within the Development Code amendment. Allow hard surface credits to be applied for lots 2.5 acres or less, lots needing long access driveways, Kin Lake Special Overlay District, and 10% impervious surface limits on rural lots. Included with these amendments are new definitions, updated references, and process improvement changes that will simplify the overall review process for property owners. Included within the proposed amendment are new zoning definitions that address standard terminology associated with low impact development and found within the DDECM. The DDECM is the County Drainage Design and Erosion Control Manual. The definitions refer to the DDECM directly and should reduce the need for future amendments to the definitions within Title 20 if the definitions change within the manual. The proposal would add effective impervious surface, fold dispersion, hard surface, impervious surface, and infective impervious surface to Chapter 20.03 Structures, Interpretations, and Definitions. Amendments to Chapter 20.07090, hard and impervious surface limits, would add ineffective impervious surface to areas not to be included under the total hard surface, add references to drainage design and erosion control manual, update standard wording, and would reformat for content hierarchy. Proposed amendments to Chapter 20.30.05 development standards and Chapter 20.30A.070 development standards would change how hard surface cover limits are calculated for these planned developments. Currently, PRDs and PRRDs exempt individual lots from hard surface coverage limits, but the developments as a whole are required to meet hard surface coverage limits for underlying zoning, including streets, lots, accessways, and other paved surfaces within the development. Development Services has identified this as a difficult regulation to calculate and can result in unbuildable lots. The proposed change would require that each individual lot meet the hard surface requirement of the underlying zoning. This will allow staff to provide the ability to ensure compliance with the maximum coverage standards and reduce the risk of having unbuildable lots within these types of planned developments due to hard surface coverage limits. Amendments to Chapter 23.04.080, Residential Districts, would add hard surface coverage to the footnote in Table 4.04 and to the Kin Lake Impervious Surface Overlay District. Hard surfaces would be required to follow the standards of the Residential District of R5. This is just a little further down on that section, and it would also add hard surfaces under the standards when calculating the overall site. And this will allow and enable skinny lots to be able to meet the hard surface limits, which currently kind of restricts them from being able to develop specifically the really skinny ones. Staff worked with various agencies to ensure that the issues related to the board's desired changes were addressed in a targeted and efficient manner. Staff worked with Public Works, Development Services, and the Stormwater Program Coordinator. Staff has continued to work with Public Works in review of the language and expects a report back on those discussions, expects to report back to the Planning Commission on those discussions in the coming meetings. Also planned is a future presentation on the proposed changes to the Storm and Surface Water Advisory Board. For the public tuning in, there is further information available on the Low Impact website, as well as the public comment portal that you are able to submit public comment on the proposal. And as it currently stands, staff plans on bringing the proposal back for further discussion on November 3rd, which may change depending on the overall schedule. So that is it for this presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. Any quick questions or anything? Anything else, Maya, that we need to be aware of?
I don't have any other updates for the Planning Commission. I look forward to the next hearing on October 20th.
Okay, so if there's nothing else, then we stand adjourned. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was hoping just real quick. I don't know if Andrew DeFobus would have time on this, but if he can bring something forward about what's happening with the SEDs out in Boston Harbor that we've been hearing a lot lately, I'd like to hear something about how that SED was assigned, what criteria was used when they gave that a rural conservancy instead of a shoreline residential. And just so that way we could take another look at that before we make any decisions on it.
Great. I will pass that along to Andrew.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Eric. Okay, now we're really adjourned. Thanks all for letting me stumble through.